Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. On the show today, we're looking at our friendships and why they might be strained during the pandemic. With us today, Shyla Mergain. Shyla, a distinguished psychologist at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. She specializes in adjustment issues, mood, and anxiety disorders, and been with us a number of times. Always great to have her come by. She'll be explaining how friends can improve your mental and physical health. And as we think about this, does time away from friends impact your mental health? Have your kids been able to adjust to COVID-safe socializing? Love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Again, we'd love to hear from you. Shyla Mergain, welcome back. Good to have you back with us.
No, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me as a guest, Larry.
Well, I'm really pleased you're here. The American Psychological Association found that 67% of Americans feel their stress has increased over the pandemic. And I suppose there are a lot of factors contributing to that increase in that stress.
Absolutely. And this week is the 1-year mark that Wisconsin issued the Safer at Home mandate. And, you know, at that time, we never would have thought a year later we would still be in this COVID crisis. And it has taken a toll on our well-being. The CDC found that 40% of U.S. adults have been struggling with mental health or substance abuse, such as mental health issues like depression and anxiety and social isolation. And one of the things that has really taken a toll is our friendships. We're often getting disconnected from people. We are not able to get together in those same ways that we did prior to the pandemic. And there can be a feeling of discontent. And, you know, friendships are really part of the joy of life. And there's a lot of good research showing that friendships can really help us stay resilient in many different ways.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times I think if I'm feeling down or something like that in the past, I've always, you know, I may have talked with a friend, and friendships can really are, I think, kind of vital in those kinds of situations. How do we make sure we're not neglecting our friendships? I have to say, I mean, in person, I have not talked to very many of my friends in person over the last, I don't know, probably year. And it's difficult.
Absolutely, Larry. I mean, it's so challenging in so many ways. I think the first thing is to really recognize the value of friendships and what they bring to our life. Again, when we look back at the research, we find that people who have a strong social support network, they just stay healthier. They recover from illness more quickly and even live longer. There was one study of 6,500 men and women, and they found that the most isolated group had a 25% increased chance of dying from any cause. And higher isolation also increased the odds of having suicidal ideation by 16% in another study. And what I think we see in the pandemic is there can feel like there's so many challenges and changes that we don't have as much energy or time left for friendships, you know, that our bandwidth has really been limited. And instead, we might prioritize just getting through the day at work or trying to have our children learn school virtually. And, you know, we want to start to right-size this, especially as people are getting vaccinated. Life is starting to open up. It's a great opportunity to really reconnect and strengthen those friendships that, again, are part of the sweetness of life.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Gary in Ween is online with something for us that certainly applies here. Gary, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, great show, Larry. I'm lucky to have a group of friends who enjoy the outdoors, and we continue to do that. We'll get together like we got together on the evening of the solstice and New Year's Eve up at Brunei Island State Park. And everybody brought firewood, and we shoveled the path to the fire pit and cleaned off the picnic table. and you bring your own food, and you sit next to your partner, and we're socially distanced, and we get to visit just like always around the roaring campfire. 2 weeks ago, we were up at Copper Falls State Park, and on Thursday of this week, we're going to meet somewhere up north by some river where the ice is going out. And just the combination of being with longtime friends where you can just be yourself and laugh and being out in beautiful Wisconsin is just so great. It can't be underestimated.
Well, Gary, thank you very much for calling. Comment from you, Shyla.
Well, first, Gary, those sound like some social gatherings I think Larry and I probably would want to attend. What great innovation and fun to be in the great outdoors, shoveling a path together, enjoying a bonfire. I think it really highlights what friendships need to flourish. They need three essential things: proximity, a setting where people are likely to let their guard down, and spontaneous interaction. I think, Gary, you highlight that outside you can have those things. You can social distance, but sit, 6 feet apart. You can relax over that fire, enjoying food that you brought, and there can be that spontaneous chit-chat. But I really want to highlight that, not everyone has had that option, that with the pandemic, we haven't been able to see people. We're, often reverting to technology to connect. And technology doesn't really replicate or replace the benefits of in-person connection. And, this kind of trend we're seeing of friendships really being hindered and hampered by the pandemic really reflects a larger change, that over the past 35 years, people's friendship networks have shrunk. There was a famous book called Bowling Alone by Robert Putnam. He wrote it in 2000, talking about the decline of social connection and social capital, that he was seeing people, instead of being parts of those big bowling leagues, just going and bowling alone. And I think we've seen that with the rise of social media and the pandemic, because we've had to really rely on virtual connection has really amplified that. And, I think one of the things that COVID has shown us when we're social distancing is how much we need social connection, how much we need one another. And I think people are really missing just the kind of the appreciation and the connection and joy that comes from just sitting down with a friend, doing an activity, or just chatting about life and sharing one another's struggles and joys.
Yeah. Gary, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, with your own questions or comments or maybe experiences to share at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. So what indicator should we look for to tell us our friendships are suffering or just a little off right now?
Yeah, what a great question, Larry, that, some people have actually intentionally taken a pause on certain friendships, and that's okay. they'll resume once things are normal. And don't feel badly if you had to take a pause for a variety of reasons. You're not going to be staying in touch with all your friendships. Instead, I think we really want to pick those friendships that are really nourishing, supportive, where we feel safe and appreciated, or maybe who could offer some perspective or resource. So again, to answer your question, what are some things we should look out for is kind of thinking about our friendship network. And thinking about, who am I in touch with regularly, in what way, how does that feel? And am I inadvertently isolating myself? Am I inadvertently cutting myself off from connection because maybe I'm stressed or overwhelmed, or I don't want to burden others with some of the turmoil or challenges I'm facing? And that sometimes we can pull away from friendships because we don't want to burden others who are struggling enough with just managing the pandemic. And then we always want to look at mood, like, am I getting really anxious and depressed? And is that getting in the way of me connecting with people that maybe I need some additional help with? And then I think as we'll continue to talk today, Larry, what are some ways that we can proactively invest in those people that we really want to draw closer to us as we round the corner of this pandemic and move forward this year?
Yeah, so there's a lot we can talk about, and we haven't even mentioned children. You know, a lot of kids have been schooling virtually away from their friends, and I know we need to be kind of checking in with their mental health during this time.
Yeah, I always say that our children are our heroes of the pandemic, all that they've had to adapt and adjust to. And right, so many of our kids are still doing schooling virtually, have had maybe limited contact with friends or connecting virtually. But that doesn't really replace some of the pro-social learning that happens for kids when they're spontaneously interacting with their friends in person. And, you know, many parents are anxious if the kids are getting together with their friends. You know, are they following the safety protocol? So certainly having parental supervision will be helpful. And as warmer weather is coming to Wisconsin, we're no longer having those bitterly cold days that were going across our state a few weeks ago. As, you know, warmer weather, it just allows more options for kids to get together and have a play date outside or go for a bike ride or do some outdoor activity. So, but, you know, if that isn't available right now, it's, you know, you can get creative. I know a friend of mine, her son has virtual play dates with his cousins who live in different parts of the state, are having that Zoom time with other family members, or even having, you know, some sort of interaction with another friend, maybe doing a similar kind of activity, but doing it from the safety of your own home. You know, part of developing friendships, again, is a shared experience where there can be some spontaneous interaction. So having some sort of plan or goal for that interaction can really do wonders for helping a child feel connected with that friend.
Yeah. I have a 12-year-old friend who goes online and does some competitive games with one or two of his closest friends and seems to really enjoy that.
That is just lovely, Larry. Lucky 12-year-old friend to have you as a friend.
Oh, he gets a kick out of it, and it's better than just sitting there on his own. He's got a chance to, you know, interact a little bit, and it helps him. I'm wondering what types of folks are there certain types of folks that are more at risk of this pandemic related friendship difficulties? You know, maybe who are we seeing this affect the most?
Yeah, absolutely, Larry. And as you were just talking about your 12-year-old friend, I love that with the games, he was learning something new, too. So, you know, there is that sense of accomplishment that can really boost a person's mood when you feel like, hey, I achieved something. Yeah, and to answer your question, I think there are certain age groups that have been impacted by pandemic friendship difficulties. In particular, some of the elderly who are living in assisted living or nursing homes, you know, they just haven't been able to see their loved ones for maybe months, if not a really extended period of time. And often those people aren't able to congregate with other residents due to COVID safety precautions. And so they're not able to participate in those activities or have those kinds of interactions. And they can be really at great risk for social isolation. I also think people living alone, widowers, single people, you know, I was talking to a friend who's living alone who said, I haven't had a hug, you know, for a year now. You know, that's really striking. So those people can be struggling with a sense of loneliness and living alone. And we talked about kids not having those in-person play dates this past winter, which has just really been tough for them.
Shyla Morgain, our guest today, distinguished psychologist at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. As we talk with her, what conflicts have you experienced in your friendships and relationships during this challenging year? What ways have you been able to maybe safely connect with friends and socialize? Or does the time away from friends impact your mental health? Lots of things to think about here, and I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Producers today, Jana Rose Schleiss and Jill Nadeau, our engineers, Tyler Dinner. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Thanks for being with us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, taking a look kind of at mental health today, the pandemic and its impact on friendships, and looking forward to hearing from you with your experiences or questions. The number to call again, 1-800-642-1234, email to ideas@wpr.org. And let's take another call. Kent in Oshkosh, we'll give you a chance. Kent, thank you for calling.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Our big challenge has been a rift in my wife's family because her sister is a ardent anti-vaxxer, and so that, and before the pandemic, for even regular vaccines. And so all of her radar is up about, oh, it's new technology and all that, and she's managed to convince my mother-in-law to not take the vaccine. And my mother-in-law is of an age where she, you know, is at increased risk. And so it's really put a strain on all of our relationships. And my mother-in-law, you know, doesn't know who to listen to and what the correct sources are and things like that. So that, it's just been an extreme challenge.
Oh, yeah. Kent, your family may not be the only family. I'm sure it's not the only family that has been affected in this way. Shiloh, what have you got to say to Kent?
Yeah, Ken, I'm so sorry that you're going through that, and I hope that you're able to, you know, find some solutions there with family members. And yeah, you're certainly not alone. And I think this is one of the factors that has really strained relationships or even family connections. There can be disagreements between people about practicing the CDC guidelines and COVID-19 safety precautions, and just even the recent politically diversive election, that many friendships have become strained or even broken off. And you know, when we think about getting together, there can be hesitation if somebody hasn't been following the safety guidelines, if they're not wearing masks out in public, that we can be worried about our exposure by hanging out with them. And that can be, I think, really, really tough. And sometimes that can expose issues in the relationship that have been there all along. And, you know, there is an opportunity to address these cracks in the foundation of that connection and see if there are ways to repair them. And oftentimes there are, especially just continuing to educate ourselves around the safety of the vaccine and really the importance of taking the first vaccine that's offered to you, because they're all been found to be really effective in protection against COVID-19. And we know, again, the science says mask wearing can help contain the spread of the virus, and we're just continue to be encouraged to wear those masks when we're getting together. And I think, Larry, you know, lastly, it just speaks to, when we are getting together with people, we probably want to have a conversation ahead of time of what is it going to look like, how are we going to social distance. I did this this last week. I went downhill skiing with some friends the first time all year, and we had a conversation ahead of time. Okay, everyone's going to wear a mask at all times. We're going to social distance on the lift. The lift was big enough. We could sit apart from each other, you know, 6 feet, and we're not going to share any food, and it went very well. So having those conversations ahead of time can allow you to just relax. And again, sometimes people choose, maybe we'll hold off on getting together till we, you know, we're vaccinated, just so we feel a little safer based on the situation.
Yeah. Thanks again for that call. Amber in Brookfield, it's your turn. Hi, Amber.
Hi, yes. Thanks so much for bringing this topic up, because my whole family, we have been super careful since everything happened last year, and really conscientious. I mean, we really only saw my mother and maybe one other person the entire year in person. And unfortunately, it had impacted my older son has some struggle with, like, mental health, and he's only 8, but it really just seemed to be amplified as time went on. And so we tried so many different interventions and working with his team of providers. They're wonderful. And then, you know, we just finally said, you know, let's try putting him back in person school, because he'd been in virtual learning. And I cannot believe, you know, he just is flourishing. I almost want to cry right now, because he's doing so well in person. It's almost like a night and day difference. And not to say that, you know, it was a cure-all because we still have issues we're working on, but I can see the impact right away. And we were nervous, you know, if he's going to have to be around other people, but it seems like the school really has everything, you know, carefully planned out. So I think it was the right choice for our family at this time.
Hmm. Amber, thank you. Shyla, a comment?
Yeah, Amber, just as you were speaking, I could just feel the gratitude you have for finding kind of the solution to what your son was struggling with and in-person schooling. And I think you're not alone. We're seeing a lot of kids going back to in-person learning, really thriving, getting that social connection. You know, just the regular chit-chat we do when we see people, even strangers at the grocery store, in the workplace, in the break room or in schools, in the hallway, just that regular chit-chat actually provides a micro boost, a little boost to our mood. And so much of that has been missing because we're not talking to strangers in the grocery store, you know, where many of us are working virtually, so we're not having that daily interaction with coworkers. But I do find that when kids are able to go back into schools, and our schools in Wisconsin are doing a fabulous job with really doing it safely with good ventilation and smaller class sizes and desks 6 feet apart, that keeping our kids safe, that kids are really starting to get some of which they've missed this last year and can really start to learn more effectively. And it's just, again, by being together in school, it really allows those friendships to naturally start to grow again and strengthen.
Yeah, it was really good news, Amber. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. I'm glad for your son. Tom in central Wisconsin, we'll go to you next. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My wife, we're retired. My wife was really getting down because she couldn't see the grandkids. Couldn't interact with them. My kids were not into technology. They went out and bought us a digital picture frame, and they download pictures from there to the. And we've got all the pictures on this thing now. Daily activities with the kids. It's generated some phone calls. It's, you know, feels like we're at least a little bit in their life again. Text messages going back and forth with the kids has really been good for our well-being, having that contact, even though it's through technology.
Well, technology is helping there with the digital picture frame, with sending photos back and forth, which has led to a lot of other things, Shyla, for Tom and his family.
I just love that idea, Tom, that thank you for sharing that. I bet other listeners could consider that, right? And it sounds like your kids are uploading photos daily of the grandkids, so you're really part of their day-to-day life, and then you can comment on it with a text or schedule a phone call to wish them good luck on something or something you're proud of or something you enjoyed seeing. So, again, using our technology, there's so many advantages to it if we use it in the right kind of way to connect us during this time.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. It's great ideas. Charlotte in Grays Lake, Illinois, we'll turn to you now. Hi, Charlotte. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. So my issue with this whole thing that's been going on since the beginning is that we're using the term socially distancing, and it really needs to be that we're socially connecting and physically distancing. The more that I think we as our society hears we need to socially distance, it wears us out. It depresses us. It makes us upset. And if we say, let's figure out how to socially connect like the guy did sitting around the fire with his friends, but they practiced physical distancing. Amen. Yeah. Thank you. That's what I have to say.
Charlotte, I appreciate the call. So socially connect, but physically distance. Shyla, what do you think?
Yeah, Larry. Charlotte, thank you so much. What a great perspective. And I think you're spot on that, you know, by this saying socially distancing, you know, it can make us feel more distant or even have some apprehension being around people because we keep reinforcing this notion of socially distant versus just physically distancing, but connection. And I think, you know, we're at this turning point in the pandemic where we really are wanting to foster connection and being proactive with it. You know, Larry, when I think about healthy relationships in the work of John Gottman, he talks about a 5-to-1 positivity ratio of 5 positive interactions to every negative, you know, and so many of our friendships have been kind of bare bones even in the kind of interactions we've had. So I think when we look back to Charlotte's comment around connection, we can think about what are some ways that I can proactively foster connection and make some, you know, deposits or investment in my relationships so we feel connection. Connection doesn't happen automatically. You know, it takes a little bit of work.
It does indeed. Shyla Mergain, our guest today, questions or comments or experiences? We've had some really good input from all of our callers today. You could join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. I heard you compare relationships once to bank accounts. You've got deposits and withdrawals. Maybe you could expand or explain that.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. Yeah, you know, I think the pandemic has really caused a lot of natural withdrawals in relationships just because we've been cut off maybe from that weekly get-together or that activity or hobby we used to do in person. And when we think about keeping a relationship healthy and kind of like a bank account, we want to make sure they're never overdrawn. And some of our friendships have gotten to that point. So we think about deposits. Those are those things we can proactively do to cultivate a strong friendship. You know, that can be in a lot of different ways. It could be, and I think about it as reaching out and then being intentional around how you're connecting. So one, not being afraid to reach out to somebody. You might call or send a text or schedule a virtual get together or even in person if you're able to while staying, you know, 6 feet apart and connecting in a safe way, wearing masks. And you can think about, again, so reaching out and connecting, and then what you do. So you could, you know, remind people of what you appreciate about them. You could find an activity like hiking you might be able to do or going for a walk together. Just sharing some time together and being really curious around how the other person is doing and maybe even opening up around some of the joys, but also some of the struggles that you're doing. You might even think about doing a virtual club together or maybe doing a virtual meal where you're both cooking the same recipe or playing the same kind of board game. You know, I think there, again, there are a lot of options out there. And social media is great. You know, it's a way of kind of getting updates. But really, social media, some studies suggest that only 5% is social. And mostly it's just entertainment. So just commenting on somebody's social media post probably isn't enough to really cultivate that friendship. We need to go a little further than that.
Oh, how true. Russ called to say he's taking a little trip to Illinois this weekend to celebrate all the things he missed over the last year.
I love that. Yeah, it sounds like it could be a pretty big celebration there. Yeah, and that, you know, and that can be fun too, Larry, of just talking with your friends around, gosh, maybe this summer as more people are vaccinated, we might be able to, I don't know, hear live music, you know, or eat out at a restaurant or take that trip. You know, that can be some fun planning, even if you can't do it right now.
Karen in Madison, what's on your mind?
Hi, Larry. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'm just calling because I have the Facebook portal. I have 2 grandchildren, 3 and 1.5, from north of Los Angeles, and I live in Madison. So when my first grandson was born, my son sent us the Facebook portal, which has just been a lifesaver during the pandemic. It has a camera that follows you around the room. You can even hook it to your TV if you want, but it's an incredible device where you can sit with using no hands. You can sit, walk around, you can cook, and they can, you can move it room to room so they can see you cooking. I have just been able to experience my grandchildren and keep read stories to them and keep in touch. So it has been a lifesaver. I just can't say enough.
Oh, that's great, Karen. Thank you. Shyla, a comment? That really is great.
I just love that technology. The Facebook portal, maybe other listeners might consider that. And it really speaks to, if this pandemic had happened 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it would have been a much different experience because we wouldn't have had all this technology that has helped us stay close, right? The silver lining of all this is we do have things like Facebook portal where we can watch our grandkids, and read them stories and watch them eat dinner and how much we would have missed had we not had this, how much harder it would have been.
Yeah, thank you, Karen. Appreciate it. Tom in Southwest Wisconsin. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hey, Larry, I love your show. I just have a comment and, I guess a question. During the pandemic, I've been quite diligent about my family and stuff, wearing masks, being socially distanced and whatnot. But my friends are somewhat different. They don't adhere to any of the rules at all, and I feel some resentment there. I was just wondering what your take might be on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom, I think that, great to hear that your family has taken all those safety precautions and been wearing masks and how it can be, there can be some tension there with friendships who aren't adhering to those same safety procedures. And, and sometimes you can have a discussion with them depending on how receptive they'll be, especially if you are planning to get together, that you would appreciate if you're getting together that they wear a mask and you're doing something that can be safely done. Or sometimes, again, when I talk about pauses from friendships, sometimes it might be just a pause till, you're vaccinated and they're vaccinated and then coming back together, that there are those differences sometimes that can hinder that getting together or feeling, being able to connect in the way that you were prior to the pandemic. But I'm sure you're not alone in having some of those friendships where people are making different choices. And, that ultimately you want to do what's going to be best for the safety of your own family at this point. And that, we're kind of in the third quarter of the pandemic. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel. But we're still not quite there. So it's really time to stay vigilant with just keeping safe and all those safety precautions until more people are vaccinated.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it. A listener emailed that he'd like to offer an opposing view. Like many middle-aged or older men, he finds it difficult to make new friends in person. And since March of last year, he's become much more active on social media and using platforms like Zoom to connect with others. He's a little worried that once restrictions on getting together in person are lifted, many of these connections will fall away. So what should he be doing, or this listener be doing? And maybe what should any of us be doing to kind of rekindle our friendships and keep those connections that we may have actually made new connections through social media.
Oh, and I just love that perspective. Thanks for offering that. I think for some people, right, it has, they've been able to make new friends online and connect via Zoom. So that's just fantastic. But I think really being intentional around having discussions about how can we stay connected as maybe life returns to a bit more normalcy, can you continue to have those Zoom get-togethers or maybe meet in person? And just being proactive and then having plans. I think it can be great with friendships to set up plans. And then when you're done with that, you're ending that get-together, whether it's virtual or in person, setting up a time for the next get-together. So you have something to look forward to, and that can keep some of the continuity of connection. And then I think from friendships, maybe gotten disconnected with just reaching out, now that spring is almost here, just reaching out and saying, hey, I'd love to see you, a phone call, a virtual get together, or maybe even in person.
Great comment. Let's go to Laura in Superior. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My friend and I recently did a very colorful puzzle in the shape of a butterfly, And I decided rather than put it back in the box, I would take a picture of it. And I texted it to about 20 people, and I heard back from 15 of those. Mm-hmm. So it was my way of connecting with people that mean a lot to me.
Oh, thanks, Laura. Comment, Sharla?
Oh,
good way to kind of get
reestablished, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I think. Yeah, and I love that because, you know, you created something. It sounds like a beautiful butterfly, and then we're able to share that joy with others, and then have them kind of react to it or comment on that. And I've definitely seen people having a lot of fun with puzzles. My mom's done some puzzles and even enjoyed the creation so much she Mod Podged them, two of them, and have them hanging on the wall right now and taking pictures and sharing. So I bet, Laura, there'll be more puzzles in your future. Yeah, thank you for sharing. And I think, again, doing some sort of activity, like a joint activity, you're doing a puzzle, your friend's doing the same puzzle, you're comparing kind of how it's progressing and then sharing the completion with others can be, you know, just ways of just getting together, even if it's from a distance.
Well, and it's probably not a bad idea or a bad approach, a photo or something like what Laura did to a group of people that you have as friends to kind of reestablish the friendship again and sort of maybe use that as a springboard for other things with friends.
Absolutely. There's nothing like something that's been creative, you know, that creativity, taking a picture of it, sending pictures to friends saying, hey, I'm thinking about you. This is what I've been up to. You know, this is what I've accomplished during the pandemic. This puzzle, what have you been up to? Just to create a sense of closeness and connection again.
Well, it's been fun talking with you. Any final words of wisdom here in the last minute or so, Shyla?
You know, I just encourage people to just take time for those friendships and to just have some compassion for yourself if some have fallen by the wayside, that there's always an opportunity to pick back up. And those closest friends, even if we haven't seen people for a year, often you fall right back into that friendship when you see each other. So I just encourage people to reach out and let those friends know that you care about them and maybe even make some time for an opportunity to connect in the near future.
Shyla, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
I appreciated being here. Thank you, Larry.
Shyla Mergain is a distinguished psychologist at the Department of Orthopedics and Rehabilitation at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. And I expect she'll be back and we'll talk about probably other things with her as we move along. We're going to turn our attention now to another topic. It's COVID related, actually, and it deals with mammograms and the COVID vaccine. Talking about that next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mehler.